Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I hated it when Paul Ryan did it. Do you remember when those pictures came out about Paul Ryan? I got to pull them up. There, Paul Ryan was like at a gym. I think he even posed for the pictures, like with a tank top on.
No!
Like, dumbbells, I'm looking it up. I swear, unless I dreamed it, and if I dreamed it, I'm going to be real embarrassed right
if
now.
If you dreamed it, I think we need to, we have other concerns.
Welcome to Unfiltered, the exclusive Rivera and Reeves episodes where the gloves come off, the filters are gone, and we're not holding back.
In these episodes, we're diving deeper, saying the things we can't or won't say on the free feed, and delivering the raw, unpolished truth you've come to expect from us.
This is where we really dig into the stories that matter, call out the absurdity without any interruptions, and maybe even spill some behind-the-scenes tea. We're here because you're not afraid of a little controversy and a lot of sarcasm.
So grab your coffee, your bourbon, or both. This is Unfiltered. No spin, no fluff, just straight-up truth from your favorite news skeptics.
Hey, friends, and welcome to another episode of Rivera and Reeves Unfiltered. Is it unfiltered? Yes. It's been a hot minute. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if this is your first time here and you are not a paying supporter, you are listening to a preview of our monthly unfiltered episode that is exclusive to paying subscribers. Okay. So like in about 10 minutes, we're going to dip and you're going to be very disappointed. So if you want to listen to the entire episode, I would highly recommend that you consider becoming a paying supporter because that's where it's at. And for the rest of you, you guys know the drill because you've been here for a hot minute. And we're just going to talk about something and stuff that we have strong feelings about that we aren't able to get into during the regular episode. Mm-hmm. And also acknowledgement that we are late with this month's episode due to scheduling issues, conflicts, Mercedes forgetting, sick kids, that sort of thing. But we're here and we got it in. On August 30th, right before the end of the month.
No, it's July 30th, Miss Amy.
I've already moved on. Okay.
Hey, is this being videotaped?
Yeah. Well, why not?
Well, I was going to say, I didn't do my hair for nothing. Miss Amy sees what it looks like on the normal day. So I'm just saying.
For paying subscribers, we are still experimenting with the video format. And the only reason we haven't done it is because we still are recording at 6 o'clock in the morning and Rachel's trying to figure out her schedule situation.
Oh boy. Yeah.
So we can do it later in the day so we don't look like zombies. This is the most beautiful that I have ever seen you, Rachel.
Oh, well, thank you. Wait, I have done my makeup in front of you before and I didn't even try that hard today. So
it's just commentary. Don't get all sensitive, okay? Don't be like these kids nowadays that are so sensitive about literally everything.
Everything. Okay.
So what are we going to talk about today? Honestly, Rachel and I went back and forth because we could not like land on what we wanted to talk about. There was plenty to talk about, but we just like, I don't know, weren't interested in it. I'm like, not for the unfiltered episode.
Until
and then The Atlantic dropped a gem yesterday, I think it was, or the day before. I can't remember.
Hold on. It was Oh, I don't even. Yeah, it was 2 days ago. 3 days ago, July 7th. Yeah. Sunday.
So if you guys are familiar with The Atlantic, I would definitely say a left-leaning publication. They're the ones that did the whole Signalgate fiasco earlier this year with
Jeffrey Goldberg.
Yeah, which is their editor-in-chief. And what's his name? Pete Hegseth in the Signal chat, right? So just so you know where this publication is coming from. Well, they did an article, a profile, on friend of the podcast, Jasmine Crockett.
Jazzy. And when I say friend, we mean that we just talk about her insufferability all the time. Really, I don't like bandy about that word lightly, but woman is insufferable.
And I would say there are insufferable elements on both sides of the spectrum, you know, on both parties.
We talk about that all the time. Yeah.
So we're not picking on anyone, but we are picking on Jasmine Crockett today because there is a full profile of her in The Atlantic, which I personally found fascinating because there's so many little nuggets like between the lines here.
Okay, and like a profile in and of itself isn't a huge deal. I mean, it is if for the person who's being profiled, but the reason behind it, they're trying to brand her, or at least when they started, I think the attempt of other publications too is to like brand her as this up and coming answer to Trump and, you know, insufferable GOP members. Like this, she's this unique brand that all of a sudden, this unique vibe, personality, whatever, that's here to answer all the questions and be the, I don't know, this new firebrand for Democrats.
I mean, the progressive part, like, you know, segment of the party loves her. I see it all the time. Like, there are accounts that I follow, and I'm talking about literally like activist progressive accounts, okay?
Okay.
For example, David Hogg, before he got booted as vice chair of the DNC, he did interviews, I think it was with The Breakfast Club, where he was like, yeah, Jasmine Crockett, she's great. Like, it's this mentality of it needs to be the anti-establishment Democrat, someone who is willing to fight. However, they don't really seem to agree with what fighting means.
Right.
And in that vein, I also want to bring up Cory Booker because he had a Spartacus moment yesterday, but we're going to save that for later. But they don't seem to agree, like, exactly, like, what is fighting? What does it mean to fight Trump and the Trump agenda? And
okay, but there was a line in this that said, like, people admire her, but do they support her? Like,
That's it.
That was, for me, when I caught that, I was like, oh, no, see, I admire a lot. Look, I think that AOC is a lot more on point than Jasmine Crockett. There are things about AOC I admire. I don't want either of them anywhere near the Resolute desk ever. But I'm saying I think that people look at Jasmine and she has this like you don't know what she's going to say next. She might cuss out someone, you know, while talking to them in chamber. Like she's entertaining, but I don't know if that necessarily means that people honestly believe that she would make a great high-ranking politician, like, in the White House, do you?
Well, and it's the same thing, for example, on the right, when you talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Like, Marjorie Taylor Greene is, I would say, on the other side of that. You know, she speaks off the cuff. She says some crazy things. She can, you know, her and Crockett have gone at it during committee hearings. You know, Mace, what's the other one?
Nancy Mace
is another one. No, and she's considering, there's rumors that she might be running for governor.
No.
So, yeah. I mean, it's out there. It's become part of, unfortunately, political discourse, if you want to call it discourse. But the difference being is I can't think of a single Republican that's like, yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene should become a senator, or Marjorie Taylor Greene should run for governor, or Marjorie Taylor Greene should run for, like, no.
No, and they like, wouldn't say that for Nancy Mace either. I honestly don't believe it. Or Lauren Boebert or anyone in that wing. And I think, too, like, another part. Well, and we can go through the article, but I found it interesting when they were kind of comparing her to Marjorie Taylor Greene and how, or maybe that was in a podcast I was listening to.
No, they do bring up Marjorie Taylor Greene in the article.
And how, like, she is kind of on that level within the GOP caucus. But she's, they kind of do think she's a little kooky crazy. She says some stuff where it's like, whoa, slow down, MTG. But they do somewhat respect her because they know she's all in MAGA and she cares deeply for the country from what she
said. And she actually has some decent relationships within, like, the Freedom Caucus and within the House.
Correct.
And it's sounding like from this article that Crockett...
Like, when they were talking about AOC and how she basically made fun of the oligarchy, fight the oligarchy tour that her and Bernie were doing. And basically Jasmine Crockett was like, well, I mean, it's fine, but it's kind of all about them. And then AOC's office declined to comment on that. And I'm like, all of these women that go on and their whole persona is don't mess with me, like lady power. I'm, you know, I'll punch you out if you argue with me. That whole vibe, they think that that makes them appear untouchable, strong, scary.
It comes off as performative.
It's performative, but it's also ghetto. And I'm not just saying that, like, this is not a race thing. There is a whole lot of ghetto going on with Nancy Mace talking the way she talks. It's ghetto. We called people that when we were in high school who spout off at the mouth, curse because they think it makes them sound tough.
It just sounds tasteless, trashy, however you want to, for sure. What I thought, so I really thought the opener of this article set the tone.
It says
all the comforts of,
she's 44. Did she have, is she married with kids?
Not as far as I know.
I'm looking it up. You go on. I'm looking
it up. So the article opens, and I thought it really set the stage. It goes, all the comforts of a Waldorf Astoria City View suite did not, at the moment, seem to cheer Jasmine Crockett.
None of us have been in a Waldorf Astoria, by the way. None of us have even been in a Waldorf Astoria, let alone in a hotel room that couldn't make... That'll make me happy. That will make me very happy to be in that hotel.
She was not happy.
That's what I'm saying. She's also unrelatable. She wants to seem like I'm for the people, but get out. Jasmine.
It goes on and it says the 44-year-old Texas Democrat, known for her viral comebacks, was frowning as she walked into her hotel room in Atlanta last month. She glanced around before pulling an aide into the bathroom where I could hear them whispering. Minutes later, she emerged ready to unload. So the article goes on to talk about how she was attempting to get the seat as the head Democrat on the House Oversight Committee. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to kind of campaign for that. And she gets really upset because she campaigns for it. She makes her case, which, by the way, part of her case was something along the lines of, okay, it goes, in the spring, I watched Crockett test her theory of politics in a series of public appearances. This is the wrong one. Because she went into a meeting with, and she made the case that the reason basically that she should get the position was, here he goes, Crockett highlighted her own emphasis on social media and the hundreds of thousands of views she had received on a recent YouTube video. Quote, the base is thirsty. The base right now is not very happy with us, Crockett continued, as if any lawmaker could make them feel heard. It's me. So she goes in to speak to Dexter, and that was a former, like, you have to go in and you have to campaign, and you have to make a case for those seats. And part of her pitch was her social media platform.
I mean, that's fine if you're going to, like, apply to be a social media strategist or a comms director at a company. But, like, that isn't... If that's what you're leading with, that's a problem. That should not be what you're leading with in order to gain favor with fellow politicians and about what you're inspired to do if you get into office or you get this position. Like, that's problematic. to me.
There was another section here in the article where she, where they point out that she's very kind of concerned about her image, and that lines up with her concern of her social media presence. Mm-hmm. You know, where it brings up that she's racked up more than 797,000 views on a YouTube video. She goes, I know this because she told me, okay, on TikTok and Instagram, Crockett has one of the highest follower counts of any house member. And she monitors social media engagement like a day trader checks her portfolio. She's highly conscious, too, of her self-presentation. During many of our conversations, Crockett wore acrylic nails painted with the words resist and a set of heavy lashes over her brown eyes. The lock screen on her phone is a headshot of herself. So, no, she's not married with children.
I was just going to say, like, sister, bless, because that means you have all the time in the world. I had to stop getting my nails done, which was like my one guilty pleasure, because I didn't have enough time to go get my nails done. But I will say, I wear false eyelashes. So
you do wear false eyelashes.
Jazzy.
I remember when we first started podcasting, I'm like, do you have makeup on at 6 o'clock in the morning?
Correct. But that's weird that your lock screen is your own face. I'm sorry. That's like when you walk in someone's house and they have photos or paintings of themselves hung up. That's an instant red flag. I'm like, I'm going to need you to explain yourself.
It's
like,
kind of weird. I mean, my lock screen does have my face on it, but it's also a picture of me and my husband.
Yeah, that's different. Totally different.
Hey there, friends. You've just had a taste of the Unfiltered episode, our exclusive series where the gloves come off and the truth gets real. This content is just for paid supporters, and we'd love to have you join us. As a paid subscriber on our Substack, you'll get full access to monthly unfiltered episodes, ad-free episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, and a community. It's the best way to support the show and get the full unfiltered Rivera and Reeves experience. If you're ready to dive in, head over to Rivera and Reeves on Substack, the link is in the show notes, and become a paid subscriber. We can't wait to see you there.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.